was it 13 Reasons Why? Because
that.
That's what we did.
It's very high school-y at the beginning. Yeah. I love Dylan Minnette.
Dylan Minnette's great.
I love that dude. Yes. That's the only reason I wanted to watch it.
Me too.
Because I really like him. I mean, there's ridiculous stuff. Like that Tony character that's like a guardian angel. Like,
yeah.
He's from like the 50s. He's like a Puerto Rican Fonzie.
I was so impressed with myself. When he showed up, I was like, oh, he's going to get a ride home from Manny Zuko. I was waiting for Sarah to laugh at that, and she didn't. I was like, wait, get it? Manny Zuko? That's fucking great. And she's like, no, I wasn't really paying attention to what you're saying.
I swore for the longest time he was going to be dead and that only Clay could see him. Because who the fuck is this kid?
What's up? This is Movies on Up. Secrets are lies. Sharing is caring. Piracy is theft. Those are three statements, one tagline. I have but one co-host. His name is Mr. Dave Becella.
And I am anti-piracy.
Anti-piracy. And a very caring man as well.
Very caring.
That's Mr. Dave. I am Ryan. We are Movies on Up. Our tagline for this week, stick with me. Secrets are lies. Sharing is caring. Privacy is theft. I may have goofed that up the first time.
Oh, I'm very pro-privacy.
And now you know what movie it is because I messed it up the first time. Secrets are lies. Sharing is caring. Privacy is theft. Three statements, one short paragraph, one long tagline. If you think you know what movie that comes from, send your guess to us, moviesonup@gmail.com, facebook.com/moviesonup, or at moviesonup on the Twitter. If you choose correctly, and if we choose you, we will send you a gift prize package full of all sorts of goodies.
You send us the answer and things may come full circle.
That is
you
exactly
get
where
package.
That is exactly where I was going.
Nice.
Things will come full circle. You beat me to it. Well done. I knew as soon as I said privacy is theft. Fixed.
5 years in, I finally jumped on a.
You win the prize package.
Yes.
The circle is now complete. Speaking of segues, buckle down because you're going to get hit with a bunch of them this week. Any year is not complete without certain episodes. And we've got a couple coming up. We've got our anniversary episode in a couple weeks. That's kind of a staple. Our summer preview is also a big staple of
Movies on Up.
That's coming up soon. That's coming up very soon, like in a couple minutes once I get this awkward introduction out of the way. It does feel like summer kind of starts earlier and earlier every year. And I blame
thanks to Marvel.
Yes, I blame Marvel 100% for that. I feel like summer movie season, we'd usually start in like June or maybe even July 4th.
It used to be the last of May.
Yeah.
And then when Avengers came out, it was early May and there was that gap. And the next year, Marvel did something early May and there was a gap. And then like it would be Marvel at the beginning of May, a couple of weeks, and then your blockbuster season started. And then finally people caught on and thought, there's 2 weeks that we're just not
yes.
taking advantage of. Like, Marvel's kicking it off, so let's just go for it.
So why let them make all of the money for 3 weeks? So that kind of forced us to start our summer movie season a little bit earlier. So we are starting it with the aforementioned Marvel movie on May 5th, Guardians of the Galaxy 2, directed by James Gunn, starring, of course, the Guardians of the Galaxy, Chris Pratt, Bradley Cooper, and Dave Bautista. This time around, Kurt Russell and his ego join Star-Lord and crew as we ramp up to next year's Infinity War.
We'll talk about this more next week. We'll probably talk
a lot
about it.
About Guardians of the Galaxy next week.
We're dedicating next week to Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 1. We're obviously excited for it. Little known fact about us, we are big fans of Marvel movies.
We are on their payroll as well. We are just basically on Disney's payroll, I think. Anything Disney we're into.
Judy Hopps.
Yeah, nope, I cannot co-sign on that. You mentioned that we're not just conceding basically the entire month of May. Guy Ritchie is not conceding the next week as he brings King Arthur Legend of the Sword to the screen, led by Charlie Hunnam, Jude Law, and Annabella Wallace. If you've ever wondered what King Arthur might sound like on Coke, here's your chance as Guy Ritchie attempts to reboot another English classic.
I used to love Guy Ritchie, and the Sherlock movies are okay for what they are. I don't care enough about Sherlock. This, I'm sure, will be fun and stylish. I don't care enough about King Arthur. I like Ewan McGregor. I think he's Merlin, maybe.
I don't know.
Or Jude Law, whoever's in this.
I think Jude Law's the bad guy.
Yeah, I don't know. Charlie Hunnam,
He's King Arthur.
I knew that.
That much
him
I know.
Him carrying a... I have my wonders whether he can pull off the Guy Ritchie dialogue, whereas RDJ is really, really good at it. Guy Ritchie movies used to be my thing.
I think it's fair to say that, at least in this room, expectations are low for King Arthur. Also that week, Ricardo D. Montrell's Lowriders, starring Melissa Benassist, Eva Longoria, and Theo Rossi. All you've ever wanted to know, but were afraid to ask about lowrider culture.
I'm fine.
Cars.
I'm fine basically. Not knowing.
Fair enough. Also that week, Jonathan Levine's Snatched, starring Amy Schumer, Goldie Hawn, and Christopher Maloney. After writing a couple scripts for Melissa McCarthy, Katie DiPold takes a swing with funny girl Amy Schumer this time around.
With Goldie Hawn, which I love. It's bringing Goldie Hawn back to the big screen. And it feels like the kind of movie Goldie Hawn starred in like her heyday, where
she was the younger
end. It's an action comedy. That's where this interests me. Is
big month for the Russell Hawn household. Yeah, it feels like it's 1980.
It doesn't look like it's just, oh, I'm going to get Goldie Hawn and Amy Schumer together and those two funny people are just going to be funny. It looks like Bird on a Wire or one of those movies from the 80s where there's a lot of action and a comedy in it. And I'm interested in that.
I mean, the writer's good.
I like Levine.
Yeah,
I like
the director is good. Right.
It's weird, but I'm kind of excited for this. I'm not going to rush out opening night, but I think it'll be a good watch.
There's enough about it, enough people that involved it, that I think that the movie would have some promise to it. May 19th, Ridley Scott. Yeah, that's a good one. May 19th, Ridley Scott comes back to the Alien universe with Alien Covenant, starring Catherine Waterston, Michael Fassbender, and Danny McBride. Sure, it's a sequel to 2012's Prometheus, but it is much more a prequel to Scott's 1979 Alien.
I get excited for movies a lot, but then there are movies that come and it's like, just thinking about them coming out gives me goosebumps. Covenant is one of them. The trailer, great.
That Last Supper thing,
fantastic. The cast, amazing. I'm really, really excited for this movie. But I was really excited for Prometheus as well.
Which, we've talked about it.
Yeah. I love the last half of Prometheus. Yeah. First half, not as much. Yeah. But
this looks more like the last half of Prometheus.
And this looks more like Alien. Like the whole thing of Alien.
Yes, it does.
Amped for this movie.
Absolutely.
Without going through the rest, this easily, there may only be one or two movies this summer that I'm more amped for than this one.
Yeah, this is one that I've had circled for a long, long time. If you've got kids, you're probably not going to be seeing Covenant opening weekend with them. Maybe you're stuck seeing Diary of a Wimpy Kid, The Long Haul, directed by David Bowers, starring Alicia Silverstone, Charlie Wright, and Tom Everett Scott. It is the fourth in the Wimpy franchise, based on the 9th book, for those of you keeping score at home.
And they rebooted, essentially. Like, this is the new cast. Completely new cast, which the kid doesn't grow up in the books at all, so it's not...
I guess they kind of had to do that.
Yeah, but I hate that Alicia Silverstone from Clueless and, like, the teenage heartthrob when I was a teenager, and Tom Everett Scott, who the cool dude in The O'Neaters and The American Werewolf in... Not the good one.
Paris.
Yeah. These people that were like cool teen figures when I was a teen are now the mom and dad, and they don't look very good at it.
Because the kid gets older too, Dave. We all get old. Time is not exactly a flat circle. Also out that week is Stella McGee's Everything Everything, starring Amanda Steenberg, Nick Robinson, and Anna Noy Rose. Steenberg plays the girl in the bubble, kind of, based off of Nicola Yoon's debut novel about a girl who is not allowed to leave her room, basically.
I like Nick Robinson. This feels like that, there was the Shailene Woodley one, and then the year after
The cancer thing?
Yeah.
Fault in Our Stars?
Fault in Our Stars, and then there was one. Feels like every year we're getting one of these teen love stories where one of them's...
Well, I got news for you. We're going to get a second one this summer. It comes much later. Spoiler alert. That brings us to May 25th, which is a movie, as we get closer to it, I get more hyped about seeing Seth Gordon's Baywatch, starring my man crush, Dwayne Johnson, Zac Efron.
My man crush.
Efron?
Zac Efron and Alexander Daddario.
She's not a man crush. She's just a fine
man, and I have
lady.
A crush on her.
Fair enough.
Detective Quantico's in this movie. She's awesome too.
The girl from Quantico.
Yeah, Detective Quantico.
I didn't know she was. I thought she was a CIA agent. I don't think they're detectives.
Yeah. I don't watch it.
Neither do I. That's pretty apparent. But I guess she's in it. Opposite Efron and The Rock in a script written by two of Dave's man crushes, Robert Ben-Gurion and Thomas Lennon. That is enough to get me into theaters. I know they wrote Herbie Fully Loaded,
Night at the Museum, The Pacifier.
Yes, they've written some crap, but I don't think this is going to be the crap.
I have one book in my office right here, and it's the book that they wrote, How to Make Movies.
He's got a lot of toys and one book.
Yeah, and it's the one written by Robert Ben-Gurion, who was directing this at a point. Mac from Always Sunny was directing this at a point, too, and then somehow ended up at Horrible Boss's guy. But it looks like it wants to be 21 Jump Street.
It very much does.
So much that the week that this movie comes out, we're doing a 21 Jump Street episode.
And you know what? I'm okay with that because I really like 21 Jump Street.
Yeah.
If this movie is that good, I'm cool with that. That movie comes out on a Thursday. The Friday, we get a movie wanting to be the same thing. Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, bringing back the Pirates franchise, bringing back Johnny Depp, Jeffrey Rush, Javier Bardem, and seemingly everyone else that's ever been in a Pirates movie.
Is Kira and...
Yes.
Orlando?
Yes. And I think Keira Knightley just got confirmed, like, that it came out today that she's in it. I think Orlando Bloom has been announced for a while. Not that that means anything to me, because
I've never seen any of
the Pirates movies. This is the fifth Pirates movie since The Black Pearl back in 2003.
I haven't seen any of them. These are like the Fast and the Furious movies of the seas, where
I'm
sure they do what they do well for
me. They make
me,
a lot of money,
but I just
and
haven't
we haven't
seen
any of them. Fair enough. June 2nd is a big week for superheroes, and we start with Captain Underpants, directed by David Soren, starring the voices of Ed Helms, Jordan Peele, and Kevin Hart. Perhaps an up-and-down week for superheroes. Kicks off with a script written by the up-and-down Nicholas Stoller of Neighbors fame and Sex Tape infamy.
It looks different. The books are fun. Like, the books are goofy and wacky. Kevin Hart in there is going to be weird, but, I mean, he was good in Secret Life of Pets. Like, that movie wasn't great, but he was really good. He does have the chops to be a great voice actor, but he's like a kid in this, and it's going to be weird. I'm afraid that Kevin Hart as a little tiny kid is going to take me out of it. It doesn't look bad enough that I'll refuse to take the kids to see it. It's not Boss Baby.
I want so hard to refuse to go see Wonder Woman, but I'm probably not going to, because of all the DC movies, I feel like this one's probably going to be the best, because there is no Henry Cavill. There is Gal Gadot, Robin Wright, Connie Nielsen, directed by Patty Jenkins. Yes, Chris Pine as well. I just thought I'd stick with the whole girl power thing and not even mention the dude. Looking to finally have a monster hit on their hands. See what I did there. DC taps Patty Jenkins to lead the only positive to come out of BVS, which was Wonder Woman.
She was good, and here's where I'm interested in Wonder Woman. She was good in BVS. There was nothing good in that movie. So was she just okay, and she's good because of everything else? I think she was good.
Is she work hot?
Yes, that's a thing. I think she's gonna do a great job. Based on the trailer, it looks like First Avenger. Like, it reminds me of Captain America.
That's a period piece.
Yeah, I mean, not just that's
World
the
War
obvious.
II,
yeah, that's the obvious one. But like, I think it'll be decent. But I thought Suicide Squad would be fun.
Then I thought the Man of Steel was going to be fun, and I was wrong.
This one of all of them, I think, has the most potential for them to salvage anything.
If they're going to turn it around, it starts here.
It starts here, and I mean, she's never been on the big screen, Wonder Woman, so that's cool to see. I like Pine enough. I'm excited to see her in a full movie as not just Wonder Woman, but as Diana Prince as well.
A dude you do like an awful lot stars in Trey Edward Schultz's It Comes at Night. That dude, of course, is Joel Edgerton, starring opposite Calvin Harrison Jr. and Carmen Ego. Writer-director Schultz follows up last year's critically acclaimed, if not little seen, Krisha with this psychological horror jam.
I like Edgerton, and especially in this kind of role, sounds like it might be cool, because I really like him, and I'll watch him in anything.
Yeah, it sounds like he's going to be able to kind of do some acting, which he's phenomenal in, and it's going to be creepy and weird. And after seeing him in The Gift, creepy and weird sounds good for Joel Edgerton. Maybe a little bit more straightforward of a horror movie, maybe more horror action. Yeah, is Alex Kurtzman's reboot, sort of The Mummy, starring Tom Cruise, Sophia Boutella, and that aforementioned Annabelle Wallace. For better or worse, the Universal Monsters universe begins today, led by longtime writer-producer Alex Kurtzman.
I like Cruise. I like what he's doing now. The action looks ridiculous. Jake Johnson is there in a decent-sized part. Mm-hmm. I really like Sophia Boutella, though. I think what she's doing in Kingsman, she stole the show. Mm-hmm. She stole the show in Star Trek, I think. Yeah. Like, she was great.
She was great. She's got a couple movies this summer.
She's got...
We'll mention
her
again.
Yeah, she's on the way up.
Almost won an Uppie last year.
Yeah, almost. And I'm excited to see what she does in this. It's a hard character for me to get excited about because The Mummy is either slow walker that's just wound up, or it's this giant sand creature that can do anything. That's what this looks like. She just has this... I don't get into witches because they can do, like, anything. And that's what this looks like. And it's like, that's not scary to me because how do you combat that? So I put too much thought into this.
Apparently you die because that's what Tom Cruise does in the trailer.
Yeah.
Looks like it.
In that zero gravity. He's just ridiculous at this point. But I like
he
what
made
Tom...
them do that on the vomit.
I know. I know. I like what Tom
Can
Cruise
you imagine
is doing.
Being like in a movie with Tom Cruise? Yeah. And like he's doing this like hanging off buildings in Dubai and you're like, bro, I mean, you're 60. Like, you know, you don't have a lot left. I mean, Jesus.
Like, I have my whole life ahead of me.
Exactly. It made him go 30,000 feet up. June 16th, Joannis Roberts, 47 meters down. Starring Mandy Moore, Claire Holt, and Matthew Modine. What's being worse than stuck in a shark cage with those fish circling? How about being stuck 47 meters below the surface with only about an hour of oxygen left? So you've got like the claustrophobic aspect of being, you know, stuck somewhere, getting ready to suffocate, combined with the fun of something like The Shallows where you're stuck in the middle of a shark's element.
Yeah, I mean, this is basically The Shallows 2, it seems like. We're
The Shallows,
like,
but in the deeps.
Yeah, yeah. We're just like, oh, let's get two girls together.
Yeah, and, what's better than one
and
girl?
Put them underwater.
Two. Also that week, maybe a bit more eyes on that one, Benny Bloom's All Eyes on Me, starring Demetrius Shipp Jr. and Danai Gurira. Bit of a Walking Dead reunion, both Michonne and Maggie. Of course you would do a Walking Dead reunion in a Tupac biopic.
I love Tupac. I mean, Tupac he got me through high school. This dude looks so much like Tupac.
People have been saying, that is Tupac.
I wouldn't surprise me.
He's not dead.
He hasn't aged a bit since he died. The trailer shouldn't look as great as it does to me, but kind of does. Like, I didn't care about Notorious because it's blasphemous, but I'm not.
Because you were West Coast.
I'm not a big Biggie fan. Straight Outta Compton, I thought was great.
West Coast.
I don't expect All Eyes on Me to be Straight Outta Compton great, but I hope it will be.
He wasn't Tupac in that, was he? Mm-mm. Just wondering if they're building like
a universe,
a West Coast rap CU. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, Tupac's a good story. Whether they over-dramatize it or what, like, I love Tupac, so it's going to be hard for me not to see this, but I'm trying to temper my expectations because it's not going to be Straight Outta Compton. But I want a Straight Outta Compton-level Tupac movie.
Probably not going to get a sequel to All Eyes on Me. I'm surprised we've had a second sequel in the Cars franchise, Brian Fee's Cars 3. Also out, starring Armie Hammer, Nathan Fillion, and Owen Wilson. Pixar doesn't do sequels unless it's Cars, really, or Planes, Dory. I mean, they're starting to do it more. Cars, though, between the first two movies, $435 million. It's kind of hard to argue with the logic on some levels.
These just seem like marketing things. That's all Cars has ever seemed like to me. It's made to sell
toys.
To sell toys, to sell merchandise. We're like, I didn't get that feeling about Inside Out or Brave. So, I mean, I guess it makes sense because it's money, but it's a bummer because for every Cars 2 and Cars 3, that's Pixar people doing that instead of
not making
else.
The Incredibles 2.
Yeah.
Also out that week is Lucia Anello's Rough Night, starring Scarlett Johansson, Zoe Kravitz, and Kate McKinnon. If you thought you saw or heard a lot of Kate McKinnon in 2006, you're correct. This year will be just about as big. She's got this, and later on in the year, that John Cena Bull movie, Ferdinand, coming out. I think that's in like November. But good to see that no matter what you thought about Ghostbusters, it didn't kill her, because I thought she was actually really, really good in that movie.
The Golden Globe helps too, or whatever she won.
It certainly wasn't an Oscar, I'll tell you that. But she's great, and her getting to be in another ensemble movie, I think she's going to...
The cast is awesome. It's just, it's a tired story. It's a group of people get together, and a hooker or a stripper ends up dead.
Yeah.
It just, this time it's gender swapped, and they kill a male hooker and or a stripper. And it's a great cast, but I have no expectations for this movie, because it just looks tired. It doesn't look like anything.
Yeah, because you've lived through that one too many times
already.
Yeah,
I mean, I've seen too many dead strippers in real life that it's hard for me to get excited about more.
It's a case of art imitating life,
I
suppose.
Been there, done that. Thrice.
Dave wrote the book on it. Colin Trevorrow directs The Book of Henry, starring Naomi Watts, Jaden Lieberherr, and Jacob Tremblay. Between box office smash Jurassic World and the certain-to-be box office smash that will be Star Wars Episode 9, Trevorrow back to his smaller roots with a couple of really strong young leads in Lieberherr, who killed it in Midnight Special, and Tremblay, who, speaking of Oscar, should have been nominated for Room, because he was great in that.
This looks amazing, too. You got Naomi Watts, Lee Pace, Dean Norris, Sarah Silverman. It looks awesome. There was a lot I didn't like about Jurassic World, but I love Safety Not Guaranteed, and this is more of that. So I'm really excited to see this.
That brings us to June 23rd, another guy that's got a couple box office successes under his belt, for better or worse. That's Michael Bay. He's back with Transformers: The Last Knight, starring Gemma Chan, Josh Duhamel, and Mark Wahlberg. Already over $1.3 billion in just four movies. Bay looks to cash in again on our childhood. And in case you're wondering, there are already Transformers movies on the calendar for 2018 and 2019. $2 billion, here we come.
I've seen the first one.
Me too.
And that's it.
Yep. Don't care. But he's just printing money at this point.
Yeah. No. I mean, people are going to see him. So
good for him.
I mean, I think he was done after the third one, wasn't it?
Like, he's been done after every one of them, I think.
I think after the third one, he was walking away, and then he's done fourth and fifth. Look at the franchises that are going strong now. You have Fast and the Furious, where it was the fifth one. They threw The Rock in there to kind of breathe life into it again. You got Mark Wahlberg, his name Cade Danner or something.
Oh, it's something that's like, that's a video game character.
Yeah, he comes in the fourth one to kind of kick off a new life to it. And now you're bringing back characters from the first one, Josh Duhamel, and they're doing what they're supposed to do for the people that want to see him. But
good for Michael Bay. I mean, yeah. You know, that guy's got to eat too. He's going to do them until he gets busy doing something else, or until we get sick of going to see that one. Also that week, Michael Showalter's The Big Sick, starring Kumail Nanjiani, Zoe Kazan, Holly Hunter. Showalter's follow-up to 2015's Sally Field-led Hello, My Name is Doris.
I love Kumail Nanjiani. He's one of the funniest people on the planet. I caught him on like a stand-ups you should know podcast years ago. Was the first I'd heard of him, and then to follow him the whole time and see him blossoming into, finally got a steady TV gig. He was on Franklin and Bash and then Silicon Valley. Now to see him make that turn into writing and starring in a movie after doing all these, he shows up in a ton of movies and he's hilarious in every one. This is based on him and his wife, Emily Gordon, meeting and her ending up in the hospital for 8 weeks after dating for not long. It's an interesting story that him and his wife wrote together about their life. So I'm really excited to see this one. Like, I'm really interested just because I do love Kumail, and it's the next progression in his career that I'm really excited for.
The next progression in Anna Lily Amirpour's career is I feel like this one's been talked about for a long, long time. It's finally getting its release. It is The Bad Batch, starring Sookie Waterhouse, Jason Momoa, Diego Luna, Keanu Reeves, Jim Carrey. If Jim Carrey doesn't scream like post-apocalyptic zombie love story, I'm not sure what does. It is Amirpour's follow-up to A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, another movie about monsters that eat people, kind of. This one, seemingly the buzz is not quite as good, but I really liked the last one, and I'm interested enough in seeing this that I'll probably check it out at some point.
I'll check it out at some point. It sounds a lot more interesting than it looks to me. Like, the trailer didn't really do much for me. The cast is weird. The cast is kind of all over the place. We'll see.
A movie that Dave will see and will see on opening nights, and all you need to know, it is Edgar Wright's movie. That'll get him in the theater. It is Baby Driver, starring Ansel Elgort, Lily James, and Kevin Spacey. We haven't seen Wright since he ended his trilogy with The World's End back in 2013. This time, no Frost, no Peg, but plenty of stars as John Barenthal, John Hamm, Jamie Foxx, and Flea round out this motley crew of bank robbers.
When I said there's probably only like two or three movies I'm more excited about than Covenant, this and next week are two of them. And then there's only maybe one more that I think is close. I love Edgar Wright. I love crime movies. This is a cool idea. Like, I like the idea of him essentially doing a jukebox musical set to a crime movie, because I do have a lot of similar tastes in music as Edgar Wright. So I'm really excited for it. Jamie Foxx, John Hamm. It's going to be really, really cool, and I can't wait. Like, I'm excited. We got deprived of Edgar Wright Ant-Man, so this is the only time Edgar Wright's went out of the Cornetto trilogy. I don't particularly like Scott Pilgrim because I hate the source material, but that's a perfect adaptation of that source material, and this is an original idea that he did, so I'm excited for this. I hope it does awesome so he gets a lot of money and he does Grasshopper Jungle next, because I really want to see him do a movie about giant praying mantises eating a city. But yeah, I love Edgar Wright, and the cast of this is great. So this is one of my top two most anticipated for this summer.
I would guess that the next one is not our next movie, which opens June 30th. It is Frank Calhoun's Amityville Awakening, starring McKenna Grace, Cameron Monaghan, and Bella Thorne. The Amityville house and this franchise should probably have been torn down long ago, but instead a new family will move into America's most haunted house, and I'm sure nothing bad will happen at all.
I just don't get it. Like, this is one of those that they keep trying to attach this name to something, but does the Amityville name
has
mean
no
anything?
Equity anymore? Boom.
It means no. Oh, God damn it. It means nothing now. Like, when was the last good Amityville movie?
The first one.
Yeah.
In like the
70s?
Yeah. I think it was the early to mid 70s, somewhere in there.
Ryan Reynolds was pretty damn ripped in the one that he was in. But beyond the shirtless,
he couldn't ab his way through that. Oh. We tried.
Oh, him and that axe. Yeah, but I mean, other than that, like, Amityville means nothing. Does this have shirtless Ryan Reynolds in it? No. It's got Bella Thorne. Close.
Is
no.
it?
No, it's not.
I'm disappointed in you for even making that comparison. Also out that week, another movie that has spawned yet another sequel, and it is one that I'm much more excited to seeing. It's Kyle Balda and Pierre Coughlin's Despicable Me 3, starring Steve Carell, Kristen Wiig, and Trey Parker. Gru joins up with his brother Drew to break bad. More importantly, Kevin Stewart and Bob back as well.
It looks like it has moments.
I watched the Minions. I don't care.
Yeah. And that's the thing, is
they entertain me.
They're entertaining. I have moments that I like. I can't really distinguish between Despicable Me 2 and Minions. Like, they all kind of blur together for me, and I'm sure this will do the same. But it looks good. Like, just the Minions, when they're showing Gru is a good guy or Gru is a bad guy, like, the Minions make me laugh. I've bought into it.
The Minions prison movie, like, I would sign up for that. Like, I would love
absolutely.
That Minion exploitation movie.
Absolutely. Like, I worry about the Drew and Gru thing. Like, I worry about two Steve Carells. But
I think it was
Trey
supposed
Parker
to be
looks good.
Hugh Laurie at one point was Drew. But, yeah, I mean, Trey Parker is, like, the 80s
guy. He looks great. But, cool. I mean, I'll see it.
Big week for movies about houses. The second of which, probably the more humorous of the two, is The House, directed by Andrew J. Cohen, starring a couple funny folks in Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler, and Alison Tolman. Cohen wrote last year's Mike and Dave and Neighbors 2, rolls the dice with Ferrell and Poehler, who open up a casino in their basement.
It's a Will Ferrell, Amy Poehler movie. I think you know what you're going to get.
I would imagine, yeah. Mike and Dave and Neighbors both had their moments, not the end-all be-all comedies that I think we were hoping for, and I think that's probably what you're gonna get here too. Something that's funny, maybe it's a good date movie just to have a couple laughs, but I wouldn't pin all your hopes on it. Also out that week is John R. Leonetti's Wish Upon, starring Joey King, Ryan Phillippe, and Ki Hong Lee, a 2015 Blacklist script about a high schooler who finds a music box that grants her 7 wishes. Suck that one, Genie. Not just 3, 7.
But there's deadly price for using those
wishes.
Of
course. People end up dead. Glad to see Ryan Phillippe's not dead. More of him, please.
I love Ryan Phillippe. Yeah. I'm a big Ryan Phillippe fan. But I'll be the first to admit, he's not a great actor. We haven't seen him on the big screen in a long time for a reason. But when he's good, he's really, really good.
MacGruber, fantastic. Way of the Gun,
fantastic. Franklin, fantastic. Like, those three.
Cool Intentions, he was solid, too.
Joey King's not that great. Like, no. It's just, whatever.
This'll
get buried.
It'll get buried. I think doing the burying next week, July 7th, when I really start to get hype about summer movies, because it's just that time of the year. Also happens to be a movie that I'm really excited about. It's John Watts' Spider-Man Homecoming, starring Tom Holland, Michael Keaton, and Marissa Tomei. Hey, it's only been about 13 years since we had the last great Spider-Man movie. I think we're about due.
When I say, like, Baby Driver is one of my top two anticipated, this is the other one. I loved Tom Holland in...
Stole the movie. Stole
Civil War. I love Keaton. I liked Cop Car. I thought Cop Car was really good, so I'm excited to see John Waits do this. The cast is great, and we talk about that a lot with Marvel movies, where all the way down the cast is just solid actors.
Don Glover.
This is no different, yeah. And it looks really good. It looks really, really good. So I'm excited for this, and I'm really, really anticipating this one.
Yeah. Talk about Marvel movies that have their own feel, where Ant-Man feels like a heist movie. Captain America is the first one's like a period war movie. This feels like a John Hughes high school movie, and I'm totally excited to see that with Spider-Man.
That's another thing. It's a coming-of-age superhero movie, which is... We haven't seen true Peter Parker in high school. We saw 30-year-old Maguire in high school.
Faking his way through the end of his senior year.
Yeah, but this is like in the nuts of high school. Like, not just like, oh, he'll be in the high school for the first month and then he graduates for the first
half of the movie.
And then he graduates and then all the sequels are out of it. Like, I think he's a sophomore in this one, a freshman or sophomore. So that'll be cool.
Yeah, that'll be solid. We got Spider-Man and Batman's brother, Casey Affleck, Rooney Mara starring in David Lowery's A Ghost Story. A24 snapped this one up even before it premiered at Sundance this year. Ghost dons the typical ghost disguise of a sheet to try and connect with his grieving wife.
Lowry is a really cool director. I didn't like Pete's Dragon as much as I wanted to, but there was some really good stuff in there. But everything leading up to that Lowry did, I thought was pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, I think he has another animated family type movie coming out. I don't remember exactly what it is after this, but this is more like in the, was it Ancient Body Saints? He did that too.
Yeah, I mean, he literally puts Casey Affleck under a sheet for the movie and has him kind of watch his wife grow up without him. Not grow up, but move on without him. It's probably going to be like an emotional gut punch. I'm really interested to see it.
Yeah.
Because, you have Casey Affleck, who's a fantastic actor. You're putting him under a sheet. So I'm interested, much in the way I was excited to see Frank, to see what Fassbender does in a papier-mâché head. Like, I want to see what Affleck does under a sheet.
On July 14th, we all know what Andy Serkis can do with some ping pong balls strapped to him. We're going to see it again. Matt Reeves' War for the Planet of the Apes, starring Woody Harrelson, the aforementioned Andy Serkis and Judy Greer. Reeves is back to direct the follow-up to his 2014's Dawn of the Planet of the Apes before he apparently goes and does The Batman.
If that happens. I feel like these movies are incredibly underrated. Like, the first two have made money.
Yes.
But I don't think people realize how good they are.
The first one was phenomenal.
The second one, I think, was even better.
Nah.
I think Dawn, gorilla with a machine gun on a horseback. I don't care. There was something special about Dawn. I really liked The Rise, but Dawn just felt like something different. It just felt like this whole other animal that... I don't get that feeling watching a lot of movies, watching it and just feeling like, this is something, like, this is special. And that builds up to war. I'm excited to see where it builds up to, because I don't know where they go after this. I think these movies are so good, but I think people remember that, like, oh, they're good and they make a lot of money. But I don't think people realize, like, how good they are.
That'll be followed by another war movie that the director has said is actually not a war movie. It is Christopher Nolan's Dunkirk on July 21st, starring real Tom Hardy, Harry Styles, and Cillian Murphy. Nolan's first since the less-than-stellar Interstellar sees the Battle of Dunkirk through three English eyes, one in the sky, one on the sea, and one on the land.
I love Tom Hardy. I don't get excited for Nolan movies.
That's
it. I just don't.
I don't care that this is a Christopher Nolan movie, but I'm excited because I do tend to like war movies, though this is PG-13, so very
much. The visuals look cool. Like, he shot it a different way.
Yes. And I think the telling the story of this, not exactly a battle. At this point, I think the battle's pretty much over. It's more or less the English evacuation from Dunkirk, where if they don't get their army out, it's basically the end of the English involvement in World War II. And to be able to see that from a guy who's on the ground trying to be evacuated, a naval officer who's trying to help coordinate the evacuation, and I think Tom Hardy's the pilot, and they're kind of running support for it. I think it's cool to see one event through three different perspectives in one movie. And I think Nolan's got enough talent as a director that he can pull that off and not have it come across as, like, gimmicky or strange. If you were tired of overdone women's road trip movies, then I've got a surprise for you. Malcolm D. Lee is giving us Girls Trip, starring Regina Hall, Queen Latifah, and Jada Pinkett Smith. Four girls travel to the Big Easy on a girls trip and do not act as ladies should. A big year for ladies getting together and acting a fool.
Yeah.
Also out that week is Luc Besson's Valerian and the City of a Thousand Planets, starring Dane DeHaan, Cara Delevingne, Clive Owen. This is one that I think, just looking at in the limited things that we've seen, I think it looks cool, but I think this has the biggest potential to be the biggest bomb of the summer.
Oh, absolutely. This is probably, like, right behind Alien Covenant for me. Like, it's not quite up there in the top three or four or five range that I'm looking forward to this summer, but it looks awesome. I don't like Delevingne. I don't like DeHaan. I like Luc Besson. I didn't like Fifth Element, so it's not like it's like, oh, Luc Besson's making another space movie, because I hated Fifth Element.
I liked Fifth Element.
This, everything about it looks amazing to me. I think it looks great. I 100% want to see this movie, but I 100% expect this movie to be terrible.
I kind of do too.
I expect it to just not be good at all, but it looks cool as hell.
I'm thinking Jupiter Ascending.
I was just
but
gonna
a Jupiter Ascending, I'm actually excited to see. So that's really gonna burn me. I know it's gonna suck, but I'm still gonna be disappointed when I go see it.
We should do a Jupiter Ascending episode. I don't know that we've made the calendar this far, but
probably not.
Because I want to do I think everybody should have to write a college paper on Jupiter Ascending, because it's such a weird thing.
We could do it. I've seen parts of it on cable recently.
He's got cat ears.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's one of those, I don't know why I'm excited. I expect it to be really, really bad, but it looks so cool.
But it looks so damn cool. A movie that sounds kind of cool, and it is our second chance to see Sofia Boutella kick some ass this summer. It's David Leitch's Atomic Blonde on July 28th, also starring Charlize Theron. And the man who we've named an award after, James McAvoy. Leitch, who co-directed John Wick, gets his first solo directing job in this adaptation of Anthony Johnston's 2012 graphic novel, The Coldest City, about a list of double agent spies that is being smuggled into the States.
I mean, it looks like Joan Wick. That's what it looks like. It's Charlize Theron as Joan Wick. It looks amazing. It would be my top five anticipated this summer, easily. Like, the trailers, there's two different trailers for it. They look amazing. Charlize Theron is a badass action chick. I'm into it. James McAvoy is like the comic relief sidekick. Sign me up. Basically, it looks like a female John Wick. I'm sold right there. But then you throw in Charlize and McAvoy. Like, yeah, what wouldn't I like about this movie?
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it too. And this guy does action movies. I mean, he does them wonderfully. Nothing says action and excitement
Like Al Gore.
Like Al Gore. In case you want to ease into the summer movie season, you're not quite ready for Atomic Blonde, you can stick your toe in Al Gore's An Inconvenient Sequel, Truth to Power, directed by Boney Cohen and John Shank. Global Warming, the sequel. The doc follows Al as he educates global leaders in the value of renewable energy, all the way up to the signing of the Paris Climate Treaty, which probably by the time this movie comes out, we're not even going to be a part of anymore. So this will be a giant waste of time.
It's too depressing to even think about.
Speaking of giant waste of time, The Emoji Movie, directed by Tony Leonidas, starring T.J. Miller, Patrick Stewart, and Jennifer Coolidge, because people in Hollywood need to eat.
When I said, like, oh, Captain Underpants doesn't look bad, and like doesn't look so bad that I'll refuse to take
like
my
Boss
kids to
Baby.
See it.
Yeah,
Emoji Movie, we're not going to go see.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a shame, because I like T.J. Miller, and I like Patrick Stewart. I think they're both beautiful people, but I don't like them enough to go see The Emoji Movie. I would just give them each $10 and not have to see it. I think that's fair. A movie that I don't think anybody ever actually thought they were going to see, let alone perhaps even be able to finish reading, and that is...
We still might not.
Might not get to finish reading it or might not see it.
Might not get to see it yet.
Yeah, it's already been backed up, I think, twice since it's been on.
And it comes out in 4 months and we've not seen a single thing from it.
And that it is, see what I did there, The Dark Tower. It is the adaptation of Stephen King's opus, I guess you might say, starring Idris Elba, Matthew McConaughey. Been in development for the better part of the last decade. I think it went through a Joss Whedon phase, a Ron Howard phase. Finally gets its release, we think, followed by what is supposed to be a TV show next year.
I love Elba as the gunslinger. I like McConaughey in there. I hope it's good. I mean, it's gone through so much that, like, the books are fantastic and everything I've read about it. I want it to be good. I don't need a TV show. I just want it to be good.
Also out that week is Catherine Bigelow's Detroit, starring John Boyega, Anthony Mackie, and Will Poulter. On the 50th anniversary of the 12th Street riot in Detroit, Bigelow gives us the story of the Algiers Motel incident, one of the most egregious examples of police brutality during those particular riots, with two dudes I absolutely love watching.
Yeah, Boyega in it. Will Poulter in this looks awesome.
I like Will Poulter, too.
I like Will Poulter.
But he's not one of the two that I love.
No, I know. I get that. But yeah. He looks great in this movie. Like, it looks like he brings it. Like, it looks like he took all the aggression and evil that he was going to use in It, had that happened, and put it in here. Catherine Bigelow is one of the best directors working right now, and she gets great performances. Look at the leads in all of her,
right,
you know,
yeah.
Chastain was an Oscar contender.
Renner
was an Oscar contender. Ralph Fiennes in Strange Days, Keanu Reeves in Point Break. Like, she gets great performances, and you give her a great cast, and it looks really good. Like, it's going to be intense. She has a good sense of history. Like, she has a good eye for recreating it without... I don't feel like Zero Dark Thirty was, like, overly dramatized. Like, I felt like it felt pretty natural, and I feel like she'll do the same here.
She's getting a little shit, though, for this, for not casting black women in the movie.
Her movies have always been pretty...
I think this
macho.
One specifically, though, because I believe there were like four black men killed and two white women killed in the riots. But it's certainly a movie about racism, and I guess having, you know, a couple strong roles for African Americans, you have to have male actors. But I guess I don't know. It's just a thing that's happening with this movie.
Yeah, and I mean it's not Stonewall. It's not what Emmerich did with Stonewall, where it was just way off base. Like, Catherine Bigelow has always done pretty macho movies and pretty masculine movies. So I don't care if her movie's led by Mackie and Boyega and Will Poulter. Like, she does that well.
Nothing says macho and manly like the last name Schwarzenegger. And nothing says Arnold Schwarzenegger's kid like teen romance. And that's exactly what we have in Scott Speer's Midnight Sun, starring the aforementioned Patrick Schwarzenegger, Rob Riggle, and Bella Thorne. Another girl with a weird disease.
Can't come out at day.
Right. She's got a life-threatening sensitivity to light. I'm thinking more romance, less vampire.
Fault in Our Stars did so well that, like, we need more dead teen girls in the summer.
On film?
Yeah, that too.
So I guess if we didn't get, like, a lot of females in Detroit, two great female leads in Ingrid Goes West, directed by Matt Spicer, Aubrey Plaza, Elizabeth Olsen, and O'Shea Jackson Jr. star as Plaza drives cross-country from PA to LA to make friends with a social media star, with unpredictably awkward Aubrey Plaza results. I think it's not just like weird girl, it's more like crazy girl.
I really like where Aubrey Plaza's career has gone. She had that turn where it was like, oh, she's going to be like a headlining movies, like with The To-Do List, and it was a couple others where she had big time leads.
Life After Beth?
Yeah, that was a smaller one, but yeah, they didn't do all that well.
Right.
Which would sink a lot of actors. But now her career, she's got some cool stuff coming out. This is one of them. She killed it on Legion. It's been cool to see where her career has gone and how she's been able to avoid being typecast as Aubrey Plaza type. Like, and she's been able to turn that into something really unique and interesting.
Speaking of unique and interesting, how about a prequel? On August 11th, we have David F. Sandberg's Annabelle Creation, starring Talitha Bateman, Stephanie Sigmund, Anthony LaPaglia, and Miranda Otto. As the name would imply, it is an origin story for the creepy-ass doll introduced in The Conjuring from Sandberg, who brought us last year's Lights Out, which I really kind of liked.
Yeah, I mean, Lights Out was solid.
Don't think I'm going to like this.
But what do we got? Conjuring? Is it that there's three Conjuring movies?
I believe this is the fourth.
And then this?
Yes.
I thought if you
Conjuring, Conjuring 2.
I thought there was a Conjuring 3.
I don't know.
And then Annabelle and then this.
Yeah.
Eh, whatever.
They got a universe. I'm not sure exactly how much shirtless Ryan Reynolds we're going to get in August 18th, The Hitman's Bodyguard, but I imagine it'll be more shirtless than Samuel L. Jackson. Patrick Hughes directs the two as Reynolds takes former nemesis Jackson as a client to take on a dictator in this 2011 Blacklist script.
It looks great. It just released The Hitman's Bodyguard trailer. It's just Reynolds. I like Patrick Hughes. He did Red Hill a few years back, which I thought was great, and then he got sucked into Expendables, but the trailer makes it look like he just told Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson, go do you. It looks great. It looks funny. The trailer, they're playing I Will Always Love You in the background. The poster is a mock-up of The Bodyguard. So it looks really funny. It reminds me of like last year when you had The Rock and Kevin Hart together in Central Intelligence in an action comedy. That's what this feels like, but this looks a lot funnier and a lot actionier. I'm a sucker for Ryan Reynolds. Sammy Jackson, who isn't a sucker for Sammy Jackson.
We just did that a couple weeks ago. You know our feelings on Mr. L. Jackson.
I think this will be fun. Like, I think this will be a lot of fun and better than Central Intelligence, which was weak.
Probably will also be better than The Nut Job 2, Nutty by Nature. Probably because they had thought, wouldn't it be funny to have a movie called Nutty by Nature? Let's just make The Nut Job 2. Cal Brooker gets the task of directing that one, starring, again, Will Arnett and Jeff Dunham, because the 51st highest grossing movie of 2014 needed a sequel.
Here's where I have to admit something.
You've never seen The Nut Job?
No, we saw The Nut Job in theaters.
Okay.
Only because I had taken the day off work and promised the kids we were going to the movies because I thought Lego Movie opened that day.
Uh-oh.
But in reality, Lego Movie was the next week.
Oh.
But since I had already promised them and had the day, we had to go to the movies, and this was playing. And it's not good. It was not good at all. Did not need a sequel. We will not see the sequel.
Unless you screw up again.
And tell them that Ninjago comes out.
I can't see many movies that you'd be confused next week that you're really excited about. But we'll start with All Saints, a movie I know that you're not pumped about. It's John Corbett and Cara Buono. Corbett is a pastor who takes in a group of Southeast Asian refugees. Doing them a solid. We talked earlier about the music box, the creepy music box. We've had creepy Ouija boards. Time has come for a creepy movie about a Polaroid camera. One of my favorite Goosebumps books, Say Cheese and Die.
A Polaroid camera is a great setup for it. It's fantastic. You can do a lot of stuff. But I have a feeling this movie won't. In this plot summary, the first thing is Polaroid is styled in the vein of The Ring and Final Destination.
Yes.
What does that even mean? It's a horror movie with teens.
Like, where there's a certain inevitability to it. You're predestined.
I guess so. You know? But still.
And I feel like I've seen this.
But you can word that better.
Because we have seen. I think there are anthology shows that have done episodes with a Polaroid camera. I think the Twilight Zone did one way back in the day with a camera. It's a cool concept that, especially nowadays with digital cameras, you see the image immediately. Polaroid, you have to wait for it, so there's that suspense. My expectations are much better than this movie will end up being, but hey, there's a movie about a Polaroid camera coming out the end of August.
Shake it like a Polaroid.
The same week as Justin Chadwick's Tulip Fever, starring Alicia Vikander, Cara Delevingne, Dane DeHaan, and Christoph Waltz.
And Zach Galifianakis.
And we're going to get to that. Don't you think I was going to let him off the hook for this one? A young painter falls for the married woman he's commissioned to paint. With a great cast in some period clothing, seeing Zach Galifianakis dressed like a 16th century Dutch fella would be totally worth the admission price.
I like Vikander.
Sure.
I'm not a big fan of period pieces.
She's doing another Danish movie, apparently.
Yeah. Period movies are
We're going to get a Valerian reunion, though, just about a month later. Those two, I guess they had a good time together. And the last movie of the summer, as we're putting it, another team-up movie between two guys that I actually kind of like. It's Ron Shelton's Villa Capri, starring Morgan Freeman, Tommy Lee Jones, Rene Russo, and Joey Pants. You've got ex-FBI agent Jones and ex-mob lawyer Freeman have to work together to survive a mob hit from the writer of White Men Can't Jump, Bull Durham, and The Great White Hype. Kind of like an 80s action comedy vibe to it.
It's a Midnight Run-ish.
Yes, very much so, except with elderly people. So I guess it's kind of like Red meets Midnight Run or whatever. You know, action comedy you want to put together. I like the genre. I think the writer is
great.
Here's
the thing with Ron Shelton, though. Bull Durham.
Yep.
White Men Can't Jump.
Great sports movies.
Tin Cup.
Yep.
Love them all. Cobb, solid. Dark Blue, competent, like, dirty cop movie. Hollywood Homicide, decent buddy movie with Hartnett and Harrison Ford. But all of that is drowned out. Have you seen Play It to the Bone?
Started watching.
That is quite possibly, literally, without a doubt, possibly one of the worst movies ever made.
Yikes.
Obviously, there are movies that are just bad. Or Ed, with the Matt LeBlanc baseball-playing movie, monkey movie. Like, from movies that you wouldn't expect to be bad, it's so bad that it almost makes me... It makes me forget how good Tin Cup, Bull Durham, all that stuff is, just because I know he's capable
hit or miss
of this. Nah, hit or worst movie ever. It's
feast
so
or
bad.
Famine.
It's
well, I'll hope this is a feast and not a famine. A lot to snack on this summer, for sure. I mean, I think you mentioned the ones that you were super pumped about, and for the most part, they're the ones that I'm interested in seeing.
It's a weird summer, though, because, like, we used to do Box Office Bash.
Yeah.
And it would be tough to pick five, like, surefire, like, oh, these are going to be...
I mean, I think
The two Marvels are going to be massive. Because the thing is, like, the stuff I'm super excited for, like Alien, I don't know what that maxes out at, because I don't know that the general public is stoked for Alien as me. Baby Driver, I don't...
Probably not.
It's not going to max out. Like, it's not going to be Wonder Woman, maybe. But like, there's
Wonder Woman's gonna make probably $300 million.
I mean, Transformers obviously is gonna make money.
Pirates makes money. Yeah, I mean, I think we could do it just because these movies are like so. At this point, it's sequel stuff. So, okay, well, I know that Pirates has made a lot of money, Transformers, so I would expect that those are. I think it's like you have big movies and you have small movies. I don't know that there's a lot that are like still studio movies, but like mid-releases, I guess. They're not tent poles, so it's. I think it's going to be kind of a feast or famine.
And I do like,
summer.
We've talked about it every year, where it's shifted from. You're not just throwing blockbusters at the wall to hope it sticks. Like, we're getting better movies each summer. And I feel like that has shifted from, we're seeing less battleships.
Right.
You know, like occasionally a Hercules will slip through, but we're seeing less like, oh, hey, this is going to be a blockbuster just because we say it's going to be a blockbuster. Right. You're not getting that as much anymore.
I think Valerian is maybe the closest that we might get to that. And who knows? That could even end up being good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't bet on it at this point. But yeah. We would mention that we both think Guardians is going to be pretty good. Next week, we'll talk an awful lot about Guardians of the Galaxy, the first one in preparation for the second. So we'll kind of give you a primer, your Guardians of the Galaxy primer, to go see that next weekend. And then
after that, 5-year anniversary.
After that is our 5-year anniversary episode. 5 years in the making. We've got some stuff planned for that. Not so much, I guess, looking back at things we've done over the past 5 years, because
we don't
remember what we've done. Yeah. And we assume that you don't care. So probably something a little bit different for this year's anniversary, but I think it'll end up being a good show. And I think like the summer preview, the anniversary episode, are two early, relatively early in the year that we look forward to, kind of staples of the show. So those are always fun to do. And I think it's cool to kind of take a look at all the movies that are coming out this summer, to kind of plan things, plan what you need to be excited about. At least that's how I measure time in the summer, is like, all right, well, how many weeks do I have until Spider-Man? Currently, I'm counting down for The Circle.
Circle,
which
just we get sooner.
Yeah, it was just soon. It was just, I think, a week ahead of our cutoff date for the summer, for the start. And then Guardians, Alien.
I mean, there's a lot. Yeah. Like, even the ones that I'm not, like, super stoked for. Like, Hitman's Bodyguard, something like, I'll see that. Like,
gotta
I want to see that.
On
like,
a rainy weekend.
Yeah, like, there's stuff that, like, yeah, and maybe not everything is Baby Driver or Atomic Blonde that, like, I'm amped to see. But, like, there's stuff that it's going to be hard to go a weekend and not have something to watch, you know?
For sure. So, I mean, let us know what you're excited about. You can get us, you can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. We do check it. We do read it. At @moviesonup on the Twitter or Facebook, facebook.com/moviesonup. That's it for our summer preview. Until next summer when we do another one. Until
there is a next summer.
That's true. If there is, I assume we'll be around to podcast it. If not, nobody will ever know.
That was nice knowing.
Right, yeah, we had 4 or 5 summers to do previews. 4 summers.
It's been fun, world.
Yeah. Until next week.
Keep it up.